I only watch accounting movies now. I know we only talk about some, but that's all I ever watch now.
See?
Can we do something different than an accounting movie? Maybe. I don't know.
Hello and welcome to Off the Books, where we surf the uncharted waters of accounting, finance, risk, and wherever else the waves take us. This episode is brought to you by Workiva, the ESG risk reporting and compliance platform that simplifies your complex work and narrates your actions throughout the day. Check it out at workiva.com/podcast. My name is Mike Gravagna, and I'm an Off the Books producer, recovering cherry coke addict, and today's host, which, longtime listeners, you know what that means. I am looking forward to debiting a great cinematic conversation today, and I'm very glad to have you hanging 10 with us. We're going to continue our accounting movie exploration with the 2006 meta rom-com drama Stranger Than Fiction. With me, as always, are Catherine Tsai, asker of questions and lover of venti chai lattes, and Steve Soder, Diet Coke aficionado and accounting enthusiast. Hello!
Hello!
Hello, Mike.
It feels like it's been a minute since we've done one of these, doesn't it?
That's right. A new accounting movie. And that may or may not be worth watching. We'll learn more shortly.
Oh! So normally, I say, well, what's your guys' history before we get into the nitty-gritty? But this time, I'm going to share mine, is I saw this in theaters, and it's been one of my favorite movies for almost 20 years. I haven't seen it in a long time. I'm not as glowing as I once was, but I love this movie.
I'm really looking forward to digging into why.
Why I like it?
I'm curious why Steve maybe doesn't.
And Catherine's neutral. Great.
Okay, me not liking it, I don't think is going to be a surprise. I, though, am equally interested to learn why Mike likes it so much.
Stranger Than Fiction is a romantic dramedy starring a playing-against-type Will Ferrell as a quiet and routine-based IRS auditor whose carefully structured life is thrown off course when two things happen. First, he starts to hear an omniscient narrator played by Emma Thompson describing his actions and feelings. And two, he begins to fall for one of his auditees, an anarchist-leaning baker played by Maggie Gyllenhaal. The cast is rented out by Dustin Hoffman, Tony Hale, and Queen Latifah, and asks thoughtful questions of destiny, creativity, expectations, love, and death. Pretty typical Will Ferrell-type movie. Bookies, I ask you this. Let's start as we always do. Does this count as an accounting movie?
I say yes. Oh, Steve?
It counts as no more or less than any of the other accounting movies. And actually, okay, I'm just going to go for it. Having watched this, I'm like, can we watch something other than an accounting movie? Because I don't seem to like very many accounting movies.
It is hard when you are so in the world, I think, to see your world represented at times. When I was in the military, I couldn't watch any war movies because that made me roll my eyes. Because it's not real.
Maybe that's it. Well, stereotypes aside, what I will say is that the stereotype personality played a key part in the movie, and so from that standpoint, if you agree with the stereotype, then it would have to be an accounting movie, because otherwise I don't think the plot works as well as it did.
Catherine, what do you think?
I thought it was an accounting movie, mainly because of the main character and his job title, but I see where you're coming from, Steve.
Well, what I appreciated, and there's the accounting Hollywood stereotypes in here, is we haven't seen an IRS auditor, I think, in any of our movies. And we've watched a lot of these movies now. It was an interesting world that I know nothing about, and I thought it did a good job at humanizing people who are often shown to be the enemy in films.
Except for our bonus movie, right? Everything Everywhere All at Once. Was she an IRS auditor or just an auditor?
She was an examiner. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
That was like a bonus movie, though.
That barely counts. And I didn't even consider it. Very different vibes. I didn't even think about that. And we didn't follow her so much.
You're right. It didn't follow her. And I'm sure she had a very interesting backstory that we didn't even get to in that movie. We certainly got to that in heavy doses with Stranger Than Fiction.
And so it seems like too many heavy doses. His, not backstory, but personal life or lack thereof. Did that bother you, Steve? Did that weigh you down?
I don't know if it weighed me down, but I think the stereotype that the accountant is counting everything, strokes of the toothbrush, steps to work, seconds of, whatever the interval was of the thing that he was doing at the time, it's just so unfair. You know, accountants are real people, too, that care about things that are interesting, and some of them are cluttered and disorganized and habitually late. You know, they're not all like that. So I took a little bit of offense there. But again, I recognize the movie had to play that up because that was critical for the plot. for the plot to work the way that it did.
Yeah, the opening line, because it's also a very literary movie, because it's he finds out he is the main character of an author who always kills her main characters, and so his goal is to try to either A, convince her not to kill him, or live his life to the fullest. The opening line is, Harold Crick was a man of infinite numbers and very few words. His wristwatch said even less. Which, there's a certain kind of book that I'm like, this, it gets the literary voice down very well. But I think Tony Hale's character, who's super into space camp, he's more exuberant. He's less counting everything. Some of the other, we don't see the other auditors' personal lives, but they seem more like normal human beings. Even though they're always asking him to do math. I do think this is Harold Crick happens to be like this, not if you're an auditor or an accountant, you are obsessed with numbers.
You know what? I'll buy that. I'll buy that, Mike. That's a good point.
Yes. Thank you.
Are you relying on desktop tools and shared drives? Stuck in a vicious, never-ending cycle of back-and-forth emails? Wish you had more time to proactively manage risks? Stop wasting valuable time corralling colleagues and updating status reports, and start spending more time on what matters with Workiva. Create alignment across key stakeholders, yes, all of them, with centralized collaboration, drive better decisions with insights on demand, and spend more time on value-added work by automating all those awful repetitive tasks. Plus, connect your GRC processes with your ESG and financial reporting, all in the same platform. Seriously. See why audit and risk teams love Workiva at workiva.com/risk. That's workiva.com/risk.
Transitioning from accounting into the literary meta-ness of it, were you guys like, oh, cool, this is kind of a fantastical movie? Or were you like, this is not what I expected, nor is what I signed on for. Why are we watching such a meta movie?
Well, for me, it raises so many good conversation topics for when you may have a drink and you want to get philosophical. So I was curious if that's why this was one of your favorite movies, Mike, or if it was something else.
I'm a sucker for metatextual things. I'm trying to be less that. I saw Scream at too young of an age and it blew my mind because I was like, this movie knows it's a movie. And so I think there's... You can play with that. I think it's been overdone in a lot of ways. It's less new and fresh as it was then, but I think this is a really sweet take on it. What if you found out you're the main character of a book, and because I have a writing background, what if you found out that everybody you've been doing things in your books, you've been actually doing that to them? I think Emma Thompson handles that existential crisis of I've killed 7 other people, because she kills all of her main characters. And writers like to get highfalutin and up their own butts, and I've talked to them, and people do get too married to their characters. They're like, I can't do that to them. And because I don't think they're real people, I'm like, you can do whatever you want to them. Torture these things. You're making them up. So I would not be a good god. So did that answer why I liked it?
I think so. For me, it raises questions of like, if you know how the story is going to end, does that change anything about how you would live your life?
Mm-hmm. And that's part of why I like it as well, too, is we all know how it's going to end.
Sure.
We all die. It's just how do you get there? What do you do until you do? And I think that's one of the main messages, and hopefully it doesn't come off too trite. I normally have a big, pretty trite dar, and I don't think it didn't ring for me. I thought it was really sweet, and it's like, yeah, learn how to play that one song. Tell the person you love them.
Mike, when you were watching that movie for the first time, if you remember, did it occur to you relatively quickly what was actually going on with the narration and him and all that? Like, did you pick up on that pretty quick?
I probably went in knowing. Because there was a period of my life where I saw, like, every movie that came out and was up on trailers and was huge into Will Ferrell, and this felt so different from his other stuff. And so I think I went in knowing the conceit.
Okay, because I was as confused as Will Ferrell's character was in the movie. I'm like, what is going on here? Can somebody please help me understand? I think maybe that was part of my frustration with the movie at first, is that you know, I was tired. It was, you know, been the end of a long day, and now I got to watch this movie for work, and that's weird by itself. And it took me a minute to figure it out.
Steve, did you ever get on, once you start figured out the conceit of the movie, were you ever like, all right, I'm in for the ride? Or it sounds like you were just frustrated the whole time.
No. I wouldn't say I was frustrated the whole time, but I struggled because in my head, you know, when I'm thinking about these accounting movies, it's about the accounting. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds so silly and so dumb. How many of these have we done? Like at this point, like, Steve, if you haven't figured it out, like, man, you're as dumb as a rock. But honestly, I think I kind of struggle with that because I think behind the scenes, my head is constantly trying to like map out, okay, where is the accounting going to come into play? And as our listeners know, at least those who've heard these episodes before, know that I take exception with a lot of the stereotypes.
Right.
Well, it was the stereotype that made it work. And to your point, admittedly, he was the stereotype of the stereotype. There were other, you know, IRS agents and examiners in there that weren't. But in my mind, that's really all there was that made it an accounting movie. And I just think that sort of like rubs against the grain just a little bit. And I think that may have been the source of my frustration. And plus, half the movie, I didn't like really know what was going on. That just tells you how dumb I am.
When were you like, okay? Because for a while, like, you see Emma Thompson, but the movie does not clearly say what's going on for a while, right? It throws it all out there and lets you pick up the pieces.
Well, yeah, I figured it out when Will Ferrell figured it out, right? Like, you know, he does something and then there's the narration and then he does something different and then there's like literally, oh, okay, now I get it.
I would say it's not just the stereotypes and playing with those, that it's also, he figures out what's going on because of his stick-to-itiveness, which makes him such a good auditor. He's also like, well, I'm going to do research. I would talk to who's an expert in literature, I guess. I'll find them. And I appreciated that, where it's like, it's not just accounting that you would be good for. There's so much you have to offer the world. He gets very good at a song in a few weeks because, again, I think it's his diligence. And I think it's showing the audience and the character. It's like, you can be good at more than one thing with this personality type. Because it's not like so many of these rom-coms, by the end, he's like, well, I'll lead a parade now. I guess I should be big and exuberant. He's not big and exuberant. He is versus where he was, but it's much more, well, now I can articulate what I want out of life.
Yep.
He's very un-Will Ferrell, too.
Have either of you seen him in a role that he is not a big cartoon character?
I don't think so.
Not really. I mean, no. Not a major character where he's not a cartoon character. I mean, I think he's had like side roles in various parts, sure. But I would argue even those tend to be fairly Will Ferrell-ish. That's probably why he was cast for those roles. But no, this was new to me for sure.
A similar one in that he's very not Will Ferrell is Everything Must Go, where I want to say his wife kicks him out and throws out all the stuff and he just puts it up on the lawn and the lawn looks like a living room and he lives out there for a couple weeks. That is much darker and more depressing, but also very against the grain of Will Ferrell. There's a short period where he's like, what if I could act like a human being in movies? And I was here for it. I love Will Ferrell since like the SNL days, but unpopular opinion, I don't love Talladega Nights. I can get the Will Ferrell character and shtick can grate at me at times.
And are either of those two accounting movies?
No.
Oh, so we can't watch those.
Not legally, we can't ever watch them. I only watch accounting movies now. I know we only talk about some, but that's all I ever watch now.
See?
Can we do something different than an accounting movie? Maybe. I don't know.
Did you like this more grounded, quiet version of Ferrell?
I didn't love it, but it did kind of highlight for me how great all the other actors are in the movie. I love Maggie Gyllenhaal in this, love Tony Hale, Dustin Hoffman, Emma Thompson, I thought did great. Queen Latifah didn't have much to do, but she put in the work.
She also, I thought, played against type because she's like big and brassy when she's in movies. And I liked this very like quiet, I'm going to get the job done. And it felt like with those two, they're like, okay, we're going to get these two bigger personalities, mellow them out, and then put in these like just really good actors and fill it in. Yeah, I love the cast of this movie.
I would completely agree with that point. And that was unique because normally with Will Ferrell just sort of like sucking up all the attention by design. Presumably that's why they would have cast him in the first place. In this case, that did, as you say, give the chance for everybody else to sort of like shine equally and put like a bigger spotlight, I think, on everybody, as well as the connectivity between the characters, their relationships with each other. It wasn't just like completely overshadowed. Because actually, when I saw Queen Latifah, because I didn't realize she was in the movie until I actually saw her, and I thought, oh, okay, you know, here's the big personality, right? Like mm-hmm. let's see what happens here. And not at all. I actually felt like she played that role really, really well.
Yeah, it's an indie comedy from the mid-2000s, which means very quiet. It's not quite mumblecore, which was its own strain of comedy that gets too grounded and quiet for some people, but it's definitely not the big studio comedy vibes ever. There's some loud moments, like the wrecking ball going through his apartment, which feels so shocking because the movie's so like mellow.
What was up with that? Like,
it so that is the conversation Hoffman, who's the literary professor, and Will Ferrell have said. He's like, okay, let's find out if you drive the action or the action drives you. Those are two main kinds of books. Do nothing. Don't even answer the phone. And this is saying the plot drives Will Ferrell because he can't stay in there. And if he was, the universe itself will contrive a way to get him out of his apartment so the things that have to happen in his life will happen.
Okay. Well, that's why I thought that's what was going on, but it scared the crap out of me. Like, it was, like, startling. Yeah. I was like, what is going on? Anyway.
It truly is unsettling. I want you now, like, in a couple years to watch it again, Steve. Now that you know what it's about, to see if you like it better or not. So you're not just like, what is going
I'm
on?
I'm rough, man. I'm rough. I would never want to go see a movie with me.
Catherine, it feels like you're neutral. If I love this and Steve's like, eh, not so much. Are you just in the middle?
I think so. I didn't love it, but I thought it was interesting, worth talking about, raises some good questions.
I think the reasons I love it now are different from when it came out. I think I was just like, oh, he could hear the narrator and he's the kid. Oh, that's so cool. But now I just really like the thoughtful performances and how the characters, the interconnectivity. And I think the messages of the movie, I find not too, they're not beating you over the head about it, that it's about finding connections. And that's going to be hard sometimes. I don't know. That's the main message I got from it. And I thought everybody did a great job.
I agree on the thoughtful performances. And it's also just having a writing background, just the idea of like, what if you had the power
right.
to decide everyone's fates? What would you do with that power?
One thing that I thought, and I will say this as in a moment of introspection that probably shines a better light on this movie, one of the things that I have found is that when you take that stereotypical accountant and you give them an opportunity to do something different and to shine, and I'm talking now professionally here, either through a public speaking thing, or maybe they have to give a big presentation at work in front of a lot of different people. Maybe it's an all company meeting, something like that. I've generally found that they will embrace that and right. they will knock it out of the park because they were given license or permission or maybe even a request or a mandate to do something like that. And there's almost that click. There's almost that moment where, hey, I can get out of my shell and I can actually do a pretty good job if I put some work and some effort into this. And you see that flip of maybe not a classic introvert, but an introvert by appearance anyway, kind of like busting out and breaking out of their shell. And then in some ways actually becoming a little bit of a different person because they found this maybe new person that professionally hadn't existed before. And I actually saw that in Will Ferrell and the character. And it did make me think of instances where I've seen that happen with people that I've worked with or the companies that I've been at. And like, that was kind of cool. And that was actually fairly real in that sense. Obviously, the circumstances, and this is a movie and all that, so that was different. But I've seen that transition happen before. And it's kind of neat. Like, it's sort of cool to see that. And you could imagine this character, Will Ferrell, going back to work as an IRS auditor, but yet becoming a completely different person, not unlike those other characters, also with the IRS, who weren't the stereotypical accountant.
Right. A little looser, a little, maybe they won't lean on him just to do their calculations.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Let's get to our awards, starting with the best accounting moment of the movie. Catherine?
It was kind of when I think Will Ferrell was talking about he was an IRS auditor who dated a... Oh, shoot. I'm going to mess it up. An IRS auditor who dated a...
actuary.
Yeah. No, yeah. His girlfriend left him for an actuary. Accountant left him for an actuary. Something like that. I messed it up. I'm sorry.
What is an actuary? Dumb question. What's...
they, like, look at the numbers to project risk, right? And, I mean, actuaries work a lot sometimes, like, in the pension field or in the insurance field, and they kind of model out, like... Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
No, you're doing a great job. I mean, probably the best example would be life insurance. So if you're going to issue a life insurance policy, it's going to be important to you to know about when people are going to die based on certain factors. And an actuary would go through the science, the very rigorous science of that analysis and figuring that out. Of course, that's used in many ways, in many fields beyond insurance. But I'd say that's probably the easiest conceptually to think of.
Nice. I learned something today.
So as far as my favorite accounting moment, which actually was an accounting moment, is when he and I can't remember the other lead character, what her name was.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
There you go. But when they were talking and he was saying, hey, you can actually deduct the food that you give away as a charitable contribution. That was a true accounting moment. I was certain, Catherine, that you were going to pick that one and you didn't.
I figured you would pick it.
That's my accounting moment. Best accounting moment, because it was a real accounting moment.
Mine is also a him and her. I think we didn't talk about her a lot, but I think she's a phenomenal actress in everything she's in. But I think she brings an awesome... she's not the full manic pixie dream girl. She feels like a real human being here for him to fall for. And I also get why she's into him. But it's... he's there to audit her. When he shows back up to actually do the work, she gives him this box of like shredded and crumpled receipts. And he's like, I expected this to be more organized. And she's like, I'm actually very fastidious. I did this for you. And on that, he just rolls his sleeves up and he's like, okay, I think my life's a tragedy.
You know what? And funny, just to go back to Everything Everywhere All at Once, that wasn't too different, right? Jamie Lee Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? When they literally hand like all this crap to her and then she's like, well, okay. And then she paints the picture, right? She like creates the story of what was going on.
Exactly.
I believe that may have been my best accounting moment of that movie. Maybe our audience can fact check me on that and put it in the comments. But I think that may have been at least one of the favorite accounting moments from that movie.
Sounds familiar. All right. Best or pound for pound performance. Start with you, Steve.
I mean, I feel like it's a cop out when you say the main character, Will Ferrell, but I actually thought he did a really good job. And to me, that's with the backdrop of who he normally plays, right? Really, really loud, just, you know, a massive cartoon. And in this one, he wasn't. There were times when you could tell he kind of like switched on, right? I think it's like the pictures that you can see in the, like the clip of him like yelling, at the narrator. But I thought Will Ferrell did a great job. I don't think anybody did a bad job. Let me put it that way.
Catherine?
I agree. There's so many good performances to choose from. I'm going to choose Dustin Hoffman. So I think it feels very natural, but it's also, I think like towards the end of the movie, he talks to Will Ferrell's character about the ending and how it has to be that way. And I think those are very comforting lines that he has.
And that's the two things going on there. It's one, it's like this life ends, so make your peace with it. But it's also, you roll your eyes because you're like, you pretentious literature professor. Like, oh, the story won't be good if it doesn't die. And then I think when it all wraps up, it's like, oh, it's because it has to happen because this little boy needs to be saved. Our final award is best scene / worst scene, where you can choose one of those or do both. Catherine?
Oh, I forgot to think about this.
Okay, Steve.
Come back to me.
I can start.
Yes.
To a moment I think about all the time is when he's decided like he's going to go for it and make romantic overtures towards Maggie Gyllenhaal. He brings her a box of flowers, but it's different kinds of flour because she's a baker. And that's one of those like it's sweet, it's thoughtful, it's so cute. It tickles me. And another great, I just love the two of them together, is when he's like, I'm sorry for ogling you, because he can't. The way he says ogle and draws it out into like four syllables is so funny. And it's like, oh yeah, he can be very funny and be quiet at the same time. It's not always yelling.
I don't remember. I think it actually was that scene, but the other aspect of that that I really liked is he was on he was on a bus, right, that's got like the flexible middle, and the awkwardness of him like moving around like it was like an amusement park ride, like while they were having that conversation, I like completely added to just the whole tone and the feel, right, of that dialogue that they were having. I think it's hard
to capture on screen how a character is feeling emotionally, and that captured so well of when you are shy, what it feels like that you're never really connecting, you're literally never on the same plane, and that's what the bus is doing there. Catherine, did you think of one? Steve did.
Okay, I'm gonna say okay, I'll come up with something.
Well, I actually didn't. I sort of piggybacked on yours, but I really liked it. Like, it was really good.
I think the moment when Will Ferrell starts to hear the voices and then he gets really upset and starts, like, yelling at the sky, because you get hints of him from Elf, but there's a twist on it because he's taking himself very seriously. And
so thank you, Steve. Thank you, Catherine. Big thanks to you, dear listener, for still being along with us. Please subscribe, leave a review, tell your buddies if you like the show, sound off in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. Feel free to drop us a line at offthebooks@workiva.com. Surf's up, and we'll see you on the next wave.